Our broadcast comes from April 21st, 1954, and we meet a contestant who tells of playing poker with the Marx Brothers back in 1925. See how Groucho handles that recollection. And also deals out the Pabst. We also have a Kookaburra imitation from an Australian twin. And on it goes tonight with the secret word and everything in You Bet Your Life.
Ladies and gentlemen, the secret word tonight is people. P-E-O-P-L-E.
Really?
You bet your life. The National Broadcasting Company presents Groucho Marx in You Bet Your Life, the comedy quiz show transcribed from Hollywood. Groucho meets our first contestants in just 1 minute.
Hi, Joe. Say, I just heard the good news. What are you going to do with the money?
Well, the missus and I figure to buy some property when I retire in 67, so we're investing in Series H bonds now. That way we keep the money safe till we want it, and we get a good income from it in the meantime.
If you have $500 or more to invest, ask your bank about Series H bonds.
An interest check in the mail every 6 months from Series H bonds.
Over the maturity period, 9 years and 8 months, your bond earns an average of 3%.
Hold a $500 bond to maturity and it earns you $147.75 interest.
And your money is guaranteed safe by the United States government.
If you need cash, you can redeem your bonds at par after the first interest period by giving a month's notice.
For safety, for guaranteed current income, invest in Series H savings bonds in denominations of $500 and up. See your banker for full details.
Here he is, the one, the only...
Well, here I am again with a chance for each of our couples to win up to $10,000. And if any of them say the secret word, they'll win an extra $100. George, who's first?
Well, Groucho, we have Viva Smith and David Ewan waiting to talk to you. So, folks, you come in, please, and meet Groucho Marx.
Welcome to You Bet Your Life. Say the secret word and you each take home an extra $100. It's a common word, something you see every day. Viva Smith and David Ewan. Ewan?
Ewan, that's right.
Ewan. Viva, I've heard of Viva La France and Viva Via, but where'd Viva Smith come from?
Well, Groucho, I was born in a little town called Weird City, Kansas.
Weird City?
And it's not even on the map. Oh. Weird.
Weird City, yeah.
Weird, W-E-I-R.
Oh.
It was a coal mining town.
Coal mine?
Not anymore. They've got all the coal out of the ground now. Do I'm they... a coal miner's daughter, in
oh,
fact.
Oh, you are? You don't look like a coal miner's daughter. At least you're not very lumpy. You're
kind of chubby.
You're more the bituminous type. Right? And you're David Smith, huh?
No, David Ewan.
Oh, you're David Ewan?
Ewan, that's right.
Now, where are you from, Dave?
Well, I was born in Austria, just outside of Vienna, and I came here when I was four. Went to the schools in New York City.
What sort of work do you do, Dave?
I'm a musicologist.
Oh, well, that sounds real classy. What is a music? Is that a piano tuner?
Well, I've written about 35 books on music, which have been translated in about 10 languages. And they cover just about every facet of musical activity I've done.
Rock and roll?
No, not rock and roll, but I did do a book on popular music called Panorama of American Popular Music.
Don't you call
music.
Rock and roll popular music?
No, it isn't music.
Oh.
It isn't popular. It is popular, but it isn't music.
Well, let's leave rock and roll out of it for this week. Who is writing music you do like? Who's your favorite composer today?
Well, in contemporary American music, I would consider Richard Rodgers.
Well, he's great. Why do you consider him as opposed to all the others?
Well, my last book is a biography on Richard Rodgers.
Oh, I see. Are you married?
Yes, I am.
Oh. How did you meet your wife, Viva?
Viva's not my wife.
Oh. Well, who is your wife? How did you meet her and how?
I don't really remember how I met her, probably introduced by my friends.
Do you still regard them as your friends, these people?
Yes, I do, because I probably introduced them to their wives.
Oh, well, that's one way of getting even. Now, tell us again how you met your wife, and this time lie about it.
Well, I was going to tell you that how she fell in love with me, if you want to know. Really? That I do remember.
Well, that I don't believe, but go on.
You see, we were just friends.
Is one incredible story after another here.
Oh, this really happened. We were just friends. And one day I happened to tell her that I played poker with the Four Marx Brothers. And she was as crazy about the Four Marx Brothers as I was. So that was the day the love walked in.
Well, you couldn't have played poker with the Marx Brothers. None of us ever had any money.
But I did.
Oh, I see. Well, you sound pretty bitter. You better tell us the whole story now.
Well, here's what happened. You were appearing on the Broadway musical stage for the first time. I think it was Alsatia.
Yeah, were you married then?
No, I was a youngster. 1925, I was born 1907, so I was 18.
What went on during this game?
Well, I came down to interview you for one of the magazines. And when I came in, you were in costume already, and you were the five of you, because there were five brothers then, were playing poker. What I didn't know was that the four Marx brothers, playing poker with the four Marx brothers is not an orthodox procedure. I was asking you questions, and while you made me punch drunk with your crazy answers, Chico would look into my cards, he signaled to Harpo, and then when Harpo had better cards than I had, he would raise me. And when he had worse cards, he'd tear up his cards, and Chico gave him another five cards. When the game was over, I didn't have an interview and I didn't have any money because I lost $7.
Well, that's the Marx Brothers, all right. What'd you do? Did you call the cops?
No, I didn't. Chico gave me back the $7.
Oh, he did?
Oh, yes.
Well, then it couldn't have been the Marx Brothers. Must have been the Dolly Sisters. Well, time is running out, so let's go from the musical world to the financial one and play You Bet Your Life. Now, remember, you're partners, so you can discuss anything before you make your final conclusion. You selected literature. I'm going to ask you some questions. If you miss two in a row, you're out. If you get four in a row right, you win $1,000. Number one, the first question is, in the 1600s, who wrote the three great comedies, The Silent Woman, The Alchemist, and Volpone?
Ben Jonson.
Ben Jonson is right, yes.
And you're on the way with one right.
In which of Shakespeare's plays was Caliban a character? Caliban.
Yes, I know. Midsummer's Night Dream.
No, I'm sorry. It's The Tempest.
Oh, yes.
No. Well, now we have one wrong. Don't get the next one wrong or the game is over for us.
Who wrote the King Solomon's Mines and She, a book called She?
King Solomon's Mines, She. Oh, yes, I know. He's right. Rider Haggard?
Rider Haggard is right.
Scared me. You have one right now.
Scared me, too.
Now, who wrote Jungle Stories and Kim?
That's Kipling.
Kipling and Herring, that's right. No, just Kipling, yes. Now, what author created Uriah Heep?
Uriah Heep, that's Dickens.
That's Dickens.
You're almost there. Get the next one right, and $1,000 is yours.
He lies across the ice in what famous novel?
Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Four in a row, and $1,000.
Hold it, now, wait a minute. Hold it. Now, you've won $1,000. You can keep it and quit, or else you can come back later and try to double your money. You may even get a crack at $10,000. So go over there and sit down and think about it. And if we don't see you later, thanks for being on the show. And you certainly work for that money.
In just a moment, our second couple will join Groucho to play You Bet Your Life.
Whenever you want things to be just right, be it here or there or day or night,
you make it Pabst, cause Pabst makes it perfect.
Yes, Pabst makes it perfect, just as we always have ever since 1844. So next time, you make it Pabst, because Pabst makes it perfect. America's Blue Ribbon Beer from the Pabst Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Yes, Pabst makes it perfect.
George, what have you got now to...
Well, Groucho, we have a couple
to
of...
To baffle me.
I think this will, too. We have a couple of brothers on deck now. They're Ted and Tom Lagarde. So, boys, you come in, please, and meet Groucho Marx.
Welcome to You Bet Your Life. Say the secret word and divide an extra $100. It's a common word, something you see every day. Ted and Tom Lagarde, quadruplets, huh?
Twins.
I thought so, because you're both wearing the same kind of neckties. Where are you boys from?
Well, we're from Mackay, North Queensland, Australia.
Is that the real Mackay?
A lot of people call it Mackay, and a lot of people call it Mackay. It's the struggle.
Well, you said the secret word. You said the secret word, people, so you and your father each get $50. It's 50 for you and 50 for you, Dad. Are you married, Tom?
No, we're single.
No, this is Tom, isn't it?
I'm Tom.
Oh, you're Tom. Well, are you married?
No, we're not married.
You're not married?
No, we're both single.
Why?
If we meet a
couple of twin girls that we like,
a couple of twins? You mean you want four?
No. twin girls. If we meet twin girls, we'll get married.
You would? Well, wouldn't it be confusing for twins to marry twins? You'd never know whether you were kissing your wife or squeezing your sister-in-law. Well, what would you expect from your prospective brides?
Well, we expect them to be able to cook, wash, clean, knit, darn, socks.
Nice to stay home and, you know.
Not to be the boss.
I see. In other words, what you fellas are looking for are unpaid domestics, is that it? Well, kids, you can forget it. You'll never get married. American girls like to cook, wash, and clean, but not the way you want. What they want to do is cook their husband's goose, wash their hands of the kids, and clean out the joint bank account. I want to thank every bachelor in the audience. Even a couple of married men are applauding. What did you do over there in Australia?
Well, we worked on our...
Ted? You're Ted.
Yeah, I'm Ted, yes.
Yeah. Then you must be Tom,
that's
huh?
That's right.
Right, you ask me the question.
Yeah.
So I'll answer the question.
Yeah, you keep your trap shut. I've changed my mind. I want to ask you the question. What did you do over there? I've skipped again. I want to go back to you. Huh?
Well, we were born on a farm and we cut cane until we were 13.
You cut cane until you were 13?
Mm-hmm.
Where was Abel while this was going on?
Sugar cane.
Well, I cut school until I was 40, eh?
Well, we left home when we were 15. We went to work on a cattle station.
What's that?
Like a ranch.
It's like a ranch. We used to drove cattle, round up cattle, dip and earmark and brand and inoculate cattle. It was pretty rough.
Pretty rough life. Job.
They used to wake us up with the kookaburras.
They used to wake you up with a what?
Kookaburras, around about 4 o'clock in the morning.
What's a kookaburra? Is that an alarm clock?
No, it's a bird.
Calls out.
It's a bird.
The bird calls out? Is this trained to do this?
Tom calls like, he sings out like a kookaburra.
Let's hear. How's the kookaburra going? That wouldn't get me out of bed. That would get me under the bed. Well, why did you do this?
Well, we thought it was like the movies.
You thought working on a cattle ranch would be like the movies?
We were 10 years old, Roger, before we saw our first picture. Mum drove us into town. We used to live way out in the bush, 13 miles, and she drove us into town in this old sulky. It's a kind of a buggy. And we saw a picture. It was a cowboy picture. Oh. And so we thought, well, that's what it would be like. But it was pretty tough.
It was rough. We only used to get three.
How much did you get?
3 quid a week.
How much?
3?
4. We used to get 4 pounds. 4 quid a week.
3 quid a week we used to get.
We used to get 4 quid a week.
We used to get 3 quid a week and our tucker.
You got your tucker?
Yeah.
I didn't know Sophie was in Australia at that time. What did you do after that, Tom?
Tucker's...
He got Sophie Tucker, and what did you got 4 quid, and you got Tucker?
We went to Bubba Wubba.
You went to where?
Bubba Wubba.
Well, cut out the baby talk. Now, let's say you're grown-up men.
Bubba Wubba, and we competed in a rodeo. It was our first rodeo event experience. We broke our wrists and busted our knees. We had a real rough time, but at least we got our Tucker and our expenses, bakshi.
Uh-huh. Bakshi, what's that? Is anything like a quid?
No, it's free. Bakshi means free.
Oh, gratis, eh? What are your plans now? What would you like to do?
We'd like to get in the movies.
In the movies.
In the movies?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the second show at the Pantages starts at 9:50. Well, let's see if you're qualified to be movie cowboys. Can you ride?
Yeah, we can ride.
Good?
Yeah, fairly good.
Your rope?
Yeah.
Yes.
No, not real good, but we can do a bit.
Can you bulldog a steer?
Sure. Yeah.
Can you steer a bulldog?
No, beg your pardon.
Well, if you can do all these things, you don't belong in Western movies. You belong on a TV panel show. No, it was nice having you up here, and you're real talented, and I wish you lots of success, and I'm sure you're going to have it.
Thanks.
Let's see how well you can do in the quiz, and let's hope you do well. You select the professions of famous people. If I'll ask you some questions, if you miss two in a row, you're out. If you get four in a row right, you win $1,000. Remember, before you answer, talk it over with your brother. Eh?
Righty.
Yeah, give me the profession of Chester W. Nimitz. N-I-M-I-T-Z.
Nimitz. You heard of Nimitz?
We never heard of the guy
is
in my life before.
American,
Is he American?
Groucho?
Yeah. American.
So that's his fame, huh?
Well, let's take a guess at it. Nimitz, he's... anything to do with science?
He was the admiral of the Pacific Fleet. He was the head of the whole Pacific Fleet.
Well, unfortunately, you didn't know that, so you have one wrong.
Righty.
If you don't know Nimitz, I'm afraid to ask you the next one. All right, who was George Arliss?
George Arliss.
What was his profession?
He was a...
A-R-L-I-S-S.
George Arliss. Wasn't he in... show business time? He was a show business.
Show business. Yes, that's right.
You're on the right track now. You have one right. Get three more right, and you'll have $1,000.
You fellas make me nervous. What was Sir Arthur Sullivan's profession?
Sir Arthur Sullivan.
Oh, why did you pick this?
Well, all the categories were so we complicated.
So this is very simple, apparently, yeah?
It's too late. In the Parliament. He's a parliamentarian.
Oh, Gilbert and Sullivan, the composer. What was Jan Paderewski's profession?
Jan Paderewski, he was a great composer.
Yeah, well, you're right.
You have one right now.
I'll find something on here. Who was Les Darcy?
Les Darcy's a great fighter.
Fighter.
From where?
From Australia.
That's right.
Australia.
You have two right now. Only two more to go.
Name the capital of Australia.
Canberra.
It's not on here. I just made that up. Les Darcy isn't on here either. All right. In what field is the name Frank Lloyd Wright famous?
Frank Lloyd Wright.
Writer?
No. Don't say that, a writer.
Probably the world's most famous architect.
Oh, right, dear.
Well, now we're back to one wrong again.
I think I'll go back to what was the capital of Australia?
You have one wrong. Don't get this one wrong.
What did Vincent Van Gogh do? Van Gogh. G-O-G-H.
In science?
I don't know what he did in science, but that wasn't his profession.
What was...
He's a famous painter. Don't you remember he cut off one of his ears? So he can see better?
You got two wrong.
I'm sorry, you missed two in a row. We certainly gave you many opportunities here.
Sure, we appreciate it.
We don't want you to go away broke. You won $100, haven't you?
Sure.
Already.
Well, here's a chance to win another $100. Are you ready? No help in the audience, because this is a tough one. From what large animal do we get whalebone? Canberra is right.
We'll find out if our first couple will try for $10,000 in just a moment.
In centuries past, this was the sound that used to get the news around. Yes, in centuries past, the people on one side of the hill beat the drum to share the news of the world with the people on the other side of the hill. And since the world in those days was a smaller, more easygoing world, this was enough to get the news around. Ours is a chaotic age with critical events flashing across the face of the earth. Fortunately for us, we can keep up with these events because we have at our fingertips the fastest means of communication ever devised. We have radio. NBC Radio, with news on the hour, keeps you alerted to world events wherever they happen, as soon as they happen. From ages primitive to present, people have wanted to keep up with events. In our day and age, this is the sound that really gets the news around. This is Leon Pearson inviting you to keep up with the news on the hour all day, every day, over most of these NBC stations.
All right, George, we're ready to see who wants to get a crack at all this money. Will you bring out the first couple?
All right, Groucho, Viva Smith and David Ewan. Would you come back, please?
You've won $1,000 so far. If you decide to try for the 10 and you fail, you wind up with a total of 500. What are you going to do?
I'll try for it.
You, what about you?
Well, Groucho, I'll just keep the 500.
Well, that's your privilege. You're not going ahead. That's your privilege. Congratulations on winning the $500.
Now take a seat over there and watch the fireworks.
Thank you.
You ready to go to try for the big question?
Yes, I'd like to try.
Think of a number between 1 and 10.
7.
7. Give the wheel a twist. Your number was 7. It landed on 3, so this question is worth $1,000. I'm sure you're aware that Columbus sailed in 1492 and discovered the New World. But for $1,000, tell me the name of the Spanish port from which he sailed on his historic voyage. Take a guess.
Well, I know that this city is not in Spain, but I always thought he sailed from Lisbon.
No, it's Palos. P-A-L-O-S. Palos, Spain. Sorry you missed it, but you wind up with $250. Congratulations, and thanks for being with us.
You Bet Your Life is transcribed in Hollywood. Produced by John Goodell. Directed by Robert Dwan and Bernie Smith. Music by Jack Meekin. This is George Fenneman reminding you to tune in again next week, same time, same station, to hear the one, the only Groucho. And see Groucho every Thursday evening on NBC television. You Bet Your Life is heard by our armed forces around the world.
Who else but Groucho, with, of course, some help from George Fenneman in You Bet Your Life. Our broadcast came from April 21st, 1954. Well, Groucho was often imitated, and next, someone who did a lot of imitating of all kinds of characters, and nobody did it better on radio. His name, Orson Welles. Right after this, on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Orson Welles as Harry Lime, and it's hard to imagine anyone doing it better, although Michael Rennie, for one, did it very differently. Our story comes from June 13, 1952, and we find out about blackmailing a blackmailer. In Blackmail is a Nasty Word, one of the lives of Harry Lime.
Presenting Orson Welles as the Third Man.
That was the shot that killed Harry Lime. He died in a sewer beneath Vienna, as those of you know who saw the movie The Third Man. Yes, that was the end of Harry Lime. But it was not the beginning. Harry Lime had many lives, and I can recount all of them. How do I know? It's very simple. Because my name is Harry Lime. In 1942, my fortunes being for the moment at ebb tide, it pleased me to return to America, to New York specifically, because I heard that an old and important enemy of mine was in difficulties and wished to see me. I went to the hotel where he was staying, supposedly incognito, and made myself available at the bar. But nothing happened. I ran up quite a bar bill and things were looking serious. So I ordered another drink. And then...
Mr. Lyme. Mr. Harry Lyme.
Yes, indeed.
I'm sorry to bother you.
Bother? If all bothersome things were as attractively packaged, I'd gladly be the most burdened of men. Well, won't you join me?
I didn't come here for that reason, Mr. Lyme.
I know. It's a friendly gesture and I have a hunch we're going to see a lot of each other. Now, since you know my name... Why don't you tell me yours?
That's unimportant.
Well, it's a matter of opinion.
Will you please come with me?
Well, I say, now, isn't that approach a little bold? After all, an establishment like this founds on such an obvious...
Please, Mr. Lime, come with me. You're the only one who can save him.
He? Save anybody? You've come to the wrong Harry Lyme.
Please, you must, even though you hate him.
Hate him? Now you interest me. Now, just which antagonist do you mean? I've got an awful lot of enemies.
We're wasting time. He'll pay you a great deal of money.
Money?
You can name your own price.
The price of my hatred comes pretty high. But for money and hate, Lyme goes anywhere. Lovely lady, lead on. Profitable business should be made as painless as possible, and this girl was a pleasure. The dark Irish type with eyes, the mold and color of the restless channel waters, and hair as blue-black as the proverbial raven's wing. I began to enjoy myself. The Honorable James Hadley, I believe.
Aren't you surprised to see me, Lyme?
Well, not particularly. Talk.
I know how you hate me. I also know your capabilities, Lyme. You're the only man to accomplish the job I have in mind. I've already told you what I'd pay. Lyme, I'm begging you to help me.
That's good. You begging me for help. All right, sing your sad song, Hadley, old man, about the beast you must feed.
You know.
Don't I always know, Governor? Knowing who was after your official scalp, I realized you'd undoubtedly come to me for help. Used one poison as the antidote for another, made myself available. You found me.
You mean you knew it all the time, even downstairs you knew?
In general, dear Nora, though I neither knew the sordid details nor the price to be paid for my services.
Show him the pictures, Nora.
My governor, I didn't think it even of you.
You see, Nora, even Lyme believes the man in those cursed pictures is me.
Very interesting.
Now, look at this one. You recognize a newcomer to the party.
Yes, Cato. Cato, the robber baron. I admire his instincts, but not always his performance. He's a bit clumsy.
Trubus Cato. Gambler, ward heater, grafter.
Such dear, nostalgic words. You almost make me homesick, Governor.
Be sensible, Lyme. Can you imagine me in such company at any time, particularly with an election coming up next month?
Not unless you're even more stupid than you used to be, James. But then everything is possible.
Really, Mr. Lyme, this is the...
But cameras don't lie.
You, above anyone else, should know better than that, Lyme. How many times have you faked a picture to gain your ends?
Touché, Governor, but then I always do things the hard way. You told Nora that yourself.
Yes, hard for your victims. Oh, but this isn't getting us any place. No matter what else you may choose to think of me, Lyme, you know my term in office has been clean.
Insofar as proof is concerned, the incorruptible Governor Hadley. However, these pictures prove extremely embarrassing, old man. The untouchable Hadley seems to have been taken.
Cato's going to use them to ruin me.
Why?
He wants control of my state. Either his crooked syndicate moves in, or he sends these pictures to every newspaper in the state on the eve of the election.
Trubus Cato has improved with the years. This is almost worthy of me.
I never expected you to understand, Lyme. But I thought the fee might make it worth your while. Re-election means a great deal to me. I worked hard for my office.
Yeah.
I don't want to win or lose because of a hoodlum like Cato. And I don't want my wife, my family, to be subjugated to this kind of smear campaign. They don't deserve it.
Spoken like a true family man, an American and a politician.
Governor Hadley, there must be some other way to get the negatives than this man.
Please, Nora.
Elaine, the fair Elaine, the lovable Elaine, the lily maid of Astolat. High in her chamber, up a tower to the east, guarded the sacred shield. And I'll get the negatives and the rest of these pictures from Cato. For 15,000.
Oh, thank heaven.
And dismissal of all charges against me in your state, old man.
What?
The price is cheap, Governor, for your career and your family.
Well, Governor, you can't.
Just a moment, Nora. Very well, Lyme. You'll get me those negatives and you'll receive your money and full pardon.
I'll take the money now.
I expected that. Pay him, Nora.
Well, who wants to talk in the hall, Cato? Let me in.
Come in, then. Well... Well, what have you found out, Izzy?
I am tailing Governor Hadley like you want, ever since he sneaked into town.
Yeah. Come to the point.
Who is staying away from the point? The governor is making contacts with every main hood in New York. But nobody wants to go against Cato. Only Hadley must be finding someone who will go against you, because he leaves the hotel 3 hours ago.
Leaves?
Checks out, is taking a powder. But before that, he sends his girl down to the bar.
Girl? What girl?
Who knows her name? But who this girl talks to down at the bar, you'll never guess.
Come on, Gib. I'm not playing guessing games.
All right, Cato. So don't get sore at me. I'm trying to tell you all the time. She meets a Harry Lime. I hear her say the name.
Harry Lime.
This is not good news.
Harry Lime's the only guy, but the only guy who can louse me up. He would have to come to New York. Come on.
Come on where?
To the Plaza, you jerk. If Lime's to come into this game, he's gonna be on my side, alive or dead.
Mr. Lyme.
Nora, I never dared hope you'd be this eager to see me.
It's Cato over at the bar.
Oh, have a drink.
What are you going to do about Cato?
Careful, here comes the waiter.
Yes, dear. What will you have?
What's your pleasure, honey?
Nothing, anything.
Well, that offers a pretty wide choice. Waiter, scotch and water for two.
Two scotch and water, it is. Thank
you. I want you to smile, Nora. Look, relax. Listen very carefully to what I have to say.
I'll try.
Glad you blessed me once before I die.
What?
Your smile. It's the first time I've seen it. Its radiance is breathtaking.
Please.
Now leave me at once, Nora. When you're going to the powder room, don't return. Go to your room and stay there.
I don't understand.
Mr. Cato is preparing to beard me in his den. And I want you around when he does.
But I...
He's coming this way. Now hurry. I haven't called you by morning. Get back to the Capitol fast.
What about you?
Why, Nora, I never dreamed you cared.
Oh, of all the...
Your scotch and water, sir?
Fine, fine. There you are.
Thank you.
Drinking alone, Lime? That can turn into a bad habit. Frubus Cato in the flesh. It is flesh, isn't it, old boy? Same old Harry. How about buying me the next round, Harry? At my place.
Why, Frubus, old man. Are you thinking of taking me for a ride?
Why,
oh,
Harry?
It's all right, old man. I'm game for anything. Shall we go? I know it sounds funny, but it's true. I was being taken for a ride. And a long one.
Trubus! Well, this is a surprise.
Hadley.
Who's this fella, Trubus?
The face is Jim Hadley's and the voice is almost identical.
Inside, Luke. Come on, Harry. And I'll buy you that drink I promised.
Sure. Drinks on the house.
Yes, I could use one.
Yeah, sit down, Harry.
I didn't think I'd see you so soon again, Trubus. What happened? Did you...
Shut up. Pour the drinks.
Oh, sure, Trubus.
Now, Harry, I'm open for business.
Well, to risk the obvious, this isn't Governor Hadley.
You bet I'm not.
The Hadley boys were identical twins. Luke here was the black sheep of the family. Also was supposed to have died in a train wreck 15 years ago.
Identical twins, the oldest pitch in the world.
Luke was the man in those pictures. So simple it always works. Even fooled you, Harry.
Oh, I can be fooled. I can be fooled, old man.
Luke's lived on jealousy and whiskey ever since he's seen the accident. He crossed my path several years ago just as I was figuring how to move into Jim Hadley's state. He was an answer from heaven.
Yeah, or the devil. I thought I had luck.
I can give you a fat fee, Harry. And a fine chance to pay off your old grudge against the governor.
Now, since when has benevolence become one of your characteristics, Cato?
What about this fat fee? You only paid me.
Shut up. As you know, I've already made the first contact with the governor.
How do you know I know?
Takes one to catch one, Harry.
Hmm.
As I said, I got Jim over a barrel. I know he's bought you to get the pictures from me. But if you come into my deal, you not only make yourself some money, but you can put the final squeeze on the good governor.
Uh-uh. I think you set me up as a clay pigeon, are you, old man? Sending me to make the actual transaction so you can move your syndicate into the state while I'm caught with my blackmail down.
No, Harry, you know I wouldn't do that.
To coin a cliche about thieves, Cato.
I know. How much is the governor paying you to get these negatives?
$15,000 and a full pardon.
$15,000? Why, Trubus, you only gave me $500 to pose in those pictures.
I'll give you $25,000 to come in with me, Harry.
$25,000 in advance?
Half of it. The rest when the deal is clinched.
Listen here, Troopers. If you're so quick to throw money around, toss some my way. I've been
And cheating. A percentage of my gross to take when I'm in the state. It'll be like an annuity, Harry.
You listen to me, Troopers. You cut me in on this big deal you're talking about. If you don't, I'll go to jail.
You what, Luke?
Nothing, kid. I didn't mean that. I was only trying to... what are you going to do, Troopers?
Is he? Take this rat and let Muggsy work him over.
No.
He talks too much.
No, I promise not to talk. Hey, you need me, I'll never...
Come on, Lou.
No.
Roll it.
No, please.
Come on.
I won't, no.
Well, what's your answer, Harry?
Do all of your business partners get that treatment, old man?
No, of course not. He's always asking for it. But now ask, for instance... Why, we'll clean up in Happy State. Slot machines, numbers racket, dope protection, and that's just the beginning. Harry, give us 5 years and we'll be making money from every man, woman, and child in the United States.
Compared to you, Joe Stalin is an amateur. I don't think I'll settle for a mere percentage, Cato, no. Our deal's got to be 50-50, or I won't come over and slide down your cellar door.
50-50? Why, you... Do you think you'll get away with this?
I'm certain of it. No, because the young lady was with me at the plaza.
What about her?
She's Hadley's secretary. I spent a great deal of time and effort on getting a complete file of your misdemeanors, Cato. If I fail to contact her, copies of said file will immediately be sent to all state and federal law enforcement offices. Your pitiful tin types will be forgotten in the headlines about Trubis Cato. You wouldn't want to be named public enemy number one.
50-50 it is.
Nora, good heavens, girl. What happened?
Harry Lyme, he's with Cato now, or at least he talked with him last night. By this time, he might be dead.
Dead?
Why don't you call the police or the FBI? You're the governor. Do something.
You too, Nora.
What do you mean?
The notorious Lyme charm. The man's brutal, merciless, vindictive. Lives only for himself. Yet when he wishes, he can hide all this with a cloak of magnetism. Great fascination. He's blinded you, Nora.
No, I hate him. He's a horrible man. I don't know what he is. It's been terrible, all of it. Seeing Cato waiting all night for Harry's call, not hearing, coming here.
No, I know, my dear. Believe me, I'm sorry. Yes?
Governor Hadley, a Mr. Harry Lyme to see you.
Harry.
And Mr. Cato.
Cato here? Send them in, please.
Yes, sir.
Cato, I told you once and for all.
Be too hasty, Mr. Governor. My proposition is so good that Mr. Lyme has come in on the deal with me.
What?
But you agreed to...
Lyme? Is this thug telling the truth?
I've bought certain contracts for your signature, Governor. They'll allow Mr. Cato full-scale operations in your state.
Oh, no, you wouldn't.
I can't believe it, Lyme. Not even you.
The price of the negatives, Governor. Oh, you'd better give me those negatives now, Cato. Prove our good faith to Governor Hadley.
What good faith? Oh, but here you are, Harry. The negatives and the rest of the pictures.
All nicely tied with a pretty ribbon, Governor. A ribbon as blue as Nora's eyes.
You, how small can you get?
Now, when you sign Mr. Cato's contracts, Governor, I'll deliver the negatives to Miss Patron.
That's right. Just sign on the dotted line, Hadley, and everybody will be happy.
Sold out because I trusted a rat.
Here's your pen, Governor.
And here.
Back, Nora. Get out of the way.
Lyme, what?
What are you doing?
Down on the floor, Governor. Down on the floor.
A gun. Are you crossing me, Harry?
Hold it, Cato. It's my deal.
Oh, yes?
Help!
Oh. You killed him.
What happened? Those shots?
I suggest you call an ambulance, young lady. There's been an attempt on Governor Hadley's life.
My goodness.
And keep those people out of here for a minute.
How can I ever thank you, Lyme?
You risked your life, Harry, and all the time we...
Save it. I had to kill Cato to take over his very lucrative business myself. I'll keep these negatives, Governor.
You'll what?
No, Harry, no.
This is one time, Governor Hadley, when you're not getting off so easily. These incriminating negatives in my possession, like the sword of Damocles, will be suspended over your uneasy head from now on. Call them Harry Lyme's annuity, Governor. By the time I left the Capitol building, the stars were out. The stars. I was reached by hard ways. I searched for a likely alley. Alley that was dark enough, lonely enough. Must I'll do well enough. Better remove the ribbon. The blue ribbon. Better to burn them. Oh, another voyage of the night. Greetings, cat. Mutually. Come closer. Seem to be ablaze. First the negatives. My candle burns at both ends. It will not last the night, but are my friends and all my foes. Gives a lovely light. Thank you, friend. Your applause is deeply appreciated. Now we'll add the pictures. Does that warm you, cat?
You there. And what do you think you're doing in this alley?
Is it fairly obvious, officer? I'm making a fire.
Are you now?
Burning some love letters. Girl named Nora.
Nora, huh? Well, that's a good Irish name.
She had the bluest eyes this side of heaven. I'll leave the ashes to you, officer.
Hey, by the saints, you're Harry Lyme. Come back here.
So long. Goodbye for now. And remember what Ben Franklin said about honesty being the best policy. I wish I could. Just keep slipping my mind.
Orson Welles as Harry Lyme, dealing dirt to those who deal it. In Blackmail is a Nasty Word, from June 13, 1952. Next up, Suspense, with A Voyage Through Darkness, as old-time radio drama continues here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.